Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to see your smiling faces. I want to say a special welcome to our many guests. As I look out there, I see a lot of guests. I see Tony Bosserman, who I grew up with and I haven't seen probably in 20 years. The Haney family is visiting us today out from Columbus, Ohio. It's a family I got to know for 5 years when we were out there, and many others who I hope to meet after services. So welcome to all of you. I hope you had a very meaningful and special Thanksgiving. It's nice to be able to take time out of our busy schedules and to be with family and to be thankful. Because, brethren, we do truly live in a day and age that is busy, it's hectic, it's just a tough place to live sometimes. And Paul writes about this time, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. A set of verses we're very familiar with. We probably know most of it by heart. But I think there's something, hopefully, that we can learn this afternoon. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, starting verse 1, Paul writes, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." Do you know of such people? Brutal, blasphemers, unholy? Well, it doesn't take long to turn on the national news or to open the local newspaper, and we can read about perilous acts, whether it's Gary Ridgway, whether it's the D.C. snipers that killed dozens of people. It's just a terrible time that we live in. And Paul wrote in verses 1 through 5, he listed 19 different attitudes and sins that can describe the attitude and actions of many of the people that we live around and with. Certainly, these are not attributes that we want to describe ourselves, lovers of ourselves, despisers of the good, slanders. However, as I read these attributes, I only read 18. Did you notice that I missed one? I skipped over one intentionally. The word I skipped over was unthankfulness. You know, I don't know about you, but I found it quite interesting that as I looked over this list and see words like brutal, haughty, unholy, and then to see the word unthankful, it almost seemed like the word didn't belong. Well, brethren, this afternoon, the remaining time, I'd like to talk about thankfulness. I know that Mr. Antion gave a split sermon just 2 weeks ago on the subject. But this afternoon, on the Sabbath following Thanksgiving, I'd like to add to some of the things that he said and maybe bring out a point or two that will be helpful. Paul also has another list of sins and people to stay away from. And this list can be found in Ephesians 5. So if you'll turn there, please, Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, we'll begin in verse 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting." Don't do these things. But notice what he says. "But rather," this is what you should do, "giving of thanks." He goes on from there, "For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." In verse 6, "But let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them." I found it quite interesting that in this list, Paul lists several things. Don't do this. Don't be like this. Stay away from these people. He says all of these things that we shouldn't do, but right in the middle of it, he lists one thing that we should do. That is the giving of thanks. So I think in looking at these two sets of verses in 2 Timothy and Ephesians, I think it's quite clear that being thankful is something that should be a part of our lives, and I think most of us already know that. But how often and what should be thankful for? Well, part of that answer can be found right here in Ephesians 5. If you'll drop down a little further with me to verse 17, it reads in verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In verse 20 it says, "Giving thanks." When? "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Didn't say give thanks for those things that happen good to you. Don't be thankful only when God gives you a great blessing, but be thankful for all things at all times. Let's also turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, a few books over. First Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always." And here is the interesting part of the book in which most of the verses are very short, 2, 3, maybe 4 words. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, don't quench the spirit, test all things." Things that were verses that we're very familiar with, but right in the middle of it, in verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, I think we all know that being thankful is something that we should do, and I know that we are thankful many of the time. But the question I have is, are we thankful all the time? Is it our frame of mind? Because it's so clear in these verses that God says, be thankful at all times for everything. We read other parts of the Bible, you know, rejoice in your sins. It's not easy. I mean, I don't think we're people that want to say, oh, more trials, you know, this is great. But we need, whatever we face in life, we need to be thankful for it, because we know that whatever is happening in our lives is for a purpose, and God is trying to help us through in that way. You know, I find it quite interesting that we live in a land of such abundance, and we have so much here, yet as a people, it's so easy for us to forget what we have. Yet I notice when we travel overseas to the feast in Italy, or I also had the opportunity to live in the country of Jordan several years ago. And when you are with people that have so much less than you, it's so amazing how much more thankful they are. It just, I know many of you have had the opportunity to travel, and I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but I have. When I've traveled and been with people that have had much less, I find them much more thankful. And to me, that's a lesson for myself to think, you know, if they can be thankful for the situations that they're in, then, you know, I certainly should be as thankful, even more thankful. You know, it's so easy when everything is going right and we don't have problems, and it's just so easy to take things for granted. For example, when I lived in Jordan, one thing I didn't take for granted and that I was very thankful is a hot shower. I mean, here, I don't even think about a hot shower, but there, number one, you may not have a hot shower because, number one, you might not even have water. That's for starters. And then when you do have water, then you also need to make sure that you have oil, because they don't have natural gas, and it's the oil is something that you have a tank. And I remember at one point we were without water for, you know, a few days. I don't remember exactly how long. But then once we did have water, we said, oh, great, we got water. You know, then the next thing we noticed is that the oil tank was empty, so we had to get the oil tank filled. But even when you had water and you had oil, the other ingredient is you didn't have a hot water tank that ran all the time. What you'd have to do for hot water is there was a button outside of our apartment door, and you would need to turn that on about an hour and a half to 2 hours before you wanted to take a shower. So that meant that somebody within our group had to get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning and remember to push that button, otherwise you didn't have hot water. So you could see here that it takes so much just to have a hot shower, yet in our lives, it's second nature. Brethren, we live in an age that is so fast-paced, filled with so many distractions, filled with jobs, job problems, health problems, financial problems. We have so much to do, we have so many things to worry about, that it is so easy for us to slip out of this frame of mind, to forget to be thankful for the things that we should be thankful for, and instead to be consumed with the things that we have to worry about. I think there's, in closing, there's something vitally important that we can learn from Philippians 4, a verse that you have read many times, but hopefully we can learn something new, because again, that's why we're here each week, is to learn and to grow. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't worry. But he writes, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul gave us three simple points. He said here, number one, don't worry. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go through life without worrying? Not be, you know, it doesn't say don't be concerned about things. It said simply don't worry. Then what does Paul say? Next, give thanksgiving to God in prayer for all things. And then, after that, after we haven't worried, after we've given Him thanks, then we can cast our cares upon Him and let our requests be known to Him. And as a result, what do we gain? What do we gain in our lives when we follow the simple 1-2-3-step formula? We gain the peace of God. What an incredible blessing. Brethren, we truly live in perilous times. We live in difficult times. Yet through the act, through the frame of mind of thanksgiving, we can cast all of our cares, we can cast all of our worries upon God, and we can live with the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding.